We have been talking about magnifying the Word of God as described in Psalms 138 and verse 2. From the Amplified Translation, it says, "For you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name." As we have used that word magnified, we've looked at it in one sense, and here's the illustration of like a magnifying glass. What a magnifying glass does is it doesn't change the actual word. It just changes the appearance. There is the word becomes, it looks bigger to you when you put a magnifying glass over a script or piece of paper or something like that. The words on that paper look bigger. They're the same size. They haven't changed in their size, but they look bigger. And so it is with God's word when we're talking about magnifying the word. We can't make this any bigger than it already is. But we can make it bigger in our lives by acknowledging God's word, by living according to God's word. In that way, we magnify the word of God. There's another use of the word magnify that I want to share with you this morning, and I need my prop down here to do that. And that is, there is another way of making words bigger. Now, I do it with this. This is much simpler. But if I didn't have this, I could use the megaphone. What does mega mean? Mega mall. What's the mega mall? Big mall. What's a mega church? Like us here. How awesome. But mega means big, and a megaphone makes your words bigger. It magnifies your words. And so we were concerned about if the sound system ever breaks down, we have this here. So that's, you know, you saw Zach using this at the turkey hunt. So he was the range manger. Manager. When you're magnifying words, you want to make sure you're using the right ones, I guess. But anyway, so the point of it is, today you'll get more of the understanding of making our words bigger by speaking those words as we do into a microphone or into a megaphone. You know, I wonder why they call this a microphone, because micro means small. But I think what it does, why they call it that, is because it takes your words and make them really, really little so that they go through this little tiny wire. See the words going through there? And then they poof into the air, and then something else gets them and then makes them bigger. So this is a microphone. That's a megaphone, microphone. Okay, come. What's this now, class? What's this? Okay, we got that clear. Anyway, what we want to do is we want to expand the Word of God in our life through magnifying it with our words. That's where we're going today, and you'll see more of that as we go. So I've entitled today's message, Speaking God's Word, Magnifying the Word of God through Speaking God's Word. Turn with me, please, to Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9 as we begin to look at the spoken word. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. I would like you to keep in mind the task of Joshua. As I put in the note there, it's a great task that he has received. Keep in mind that Joshua is going to a place where they had been before, the children of Israel. They're coming right up to the promised land. They'd been there before, and he was involved in that process of having gone into the promised land, came back with a good report, but the people rejected it. And so then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And now here's Joshua again coming up to that same place. And you had to, you know, feel like, you know, I've been through this before, and it didn't work out so well. What's going to happen this time? And so the Lord is giving him encouragement about what he is to do and how he is to do it. So Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses, wherever you set your foot will be on you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev, the wilderness in the south, to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So again, here's a huge task that God is giving Joshua, and he's making these promises to him. Here's this land. It belongs to you. Go put your foot on it. I have made the same promise to you as I did to Moses, and I'm not going to abandon you, Joshua. So go forth. And now he tells him what to do exactly in verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my commandment. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So again, Joshua's no small task was the fact that he was going to lead the people of Israel into that promised land. The Lord spoke to him and said, you're the leader, so you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be courageous. And then these detailed instructions about be careful to obey Moses' instructions. Now, at that point, Moses had recorded these first five books that are called the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. He had recorded those, which were, and much of that contained the law of God that was given on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, that was regarding the way that they were to relate with God and the way they were to relate with one another. So he said, be careful to obey these instructions. And then he said, study this book of instruction continually. He was to commit himself to studying it so that he would know exactly what it was about. But then not only that, not only did he say study, he added something to that that's an interesting word. We alluded to it last week when we were looking at this word meditate. It says meditate on it day and night. When he was going to do that, to study and meditate, then he says only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. So the Lord intended for him to succeed, but he had a process for him to get there through studying of that word, obeying that word, meditating on that word. Let's look at the word meditate. In the Hebrew, it is the word hagah, which means to moan, to growl, to utter, to speak, to muse. There's a lot more in that word meditate than just to think. You know, oftentimes we think about meditation, and it's, you know, it's like turning inside. It's like thinking. It's like putting your mind to something, and that's part of it. But as we see, according to this word that the Lord used, that these people would understand in their Hebrew language, he was saying, it's not just thinking about it, it's not just musing about this word, but it's uttering this word. It's speaking this word. There's even the moaning or the growling that's involved as part of that. But he says, I want you to be speaking this word. In fact, the New American Standard Translation uses this part about speaking when it says in that verse 8 of Joshua 1, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So there was more involved than just reading this word. He said, don't let it depart from your mouth. Joshua, you got to be speaking this word as well. As you read this word, as you speak this word, as you study it continually, that's going to set a course for you to prosper. That's going to set a course for you to succeed. We'll see how that all works and why it was so important for Joshua not only to be reading and studying, but also to be meditating, which means to be speaking God's word as well. So I'm going to share with you what I'm calling the heart and mouth faith. Okay, this comes from Scripture, from Romans chapter 10. And this is a really familiar passage of Scripture when you have ever heard about being saved or being born again, someone receiving the life that God offers. In Romans chapter 10, it speaks very directly towards that. So I'll have you turn there with me. Romans chapter 10 and verses 5 through 10. I'll start with verses 5 through 8 and then put up a couple of notes there. Romans 10, starting with verse 5. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all its commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth, and don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back from to life again. In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Okay, so what he's saying here, he's saying that faith's way of getting right with God is this. There are some parenthetical thoughts in there that says, you know, faith's way does not say this, who will go up to heaven, who will go down in the bowels of the earth. But faith's way of getting right with God is this. The message is on your lips and in your heart. The message is on your lips and in your heart. Okay, well, let's continue on then with verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, okay, the message is on your lips. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, okay, there's the heart part of that, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So here it says that confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. That is the completeness of receiving salvation. Now, sometimes we try to make salvation very difficult. It seems like we either go to one extreme or the other. We go to the extreme of it's so simple, just pray a prayer and you're saved. But here it's talking about actually believing in your heart. Okay, so that's what faith is. Faith, the faith way of getting right with God, as it describes in the beginning, is on your lips and it's in your heart. What you're doing is you're believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus died for you, he bore the penalty for your sin, but he didn't just stay in the grave. By the power of God, he was raised from the dead. That's what you're believing in your heart. But then not only are you believing that in your heart, you're confessing something with your mouth, and that is that Jesus has first place in my heart. In other words, he's Lord. That's what it means simply to have someone as Lord, is they're the one that's in control. I'm not in control of my life anymore. So the simplicity of the gospel is, you know, we couldn't save ourselves. He made a way for us to be right with him. And that way to be right with him is believing in our hearts, but then it's also adjusting our life so that he's in control. It's not me anymore. And that's the confession with the mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. We understand here by these words that faith is of the heart or the spirit of man. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. It's not just, okay, I agree with something that someone said to me. In my head, I can acknowledge this, but it's a heart. It's sometimes the scripture uses the word the belly or the bowels. It's the inner person that believes, that has faith. Faith is of the heart and not of the head. Okay, so when we're talking about heart and mouth faith, there is the mouth to heart and heart to mouth principle of success. Now, everyone's all excited about principles to succeed. It's like, how can you help me to succeed? Well, here we're talking about something that's, you know, it's not just a success principle, but it is something that when we apply this or when we understand how this works, it will make a difference in our life. And so you're going to see, I'm going to show you both directions, the mouth to the heart. There is a mouth to heart happening that happens. Anyway, and a heart to mouth principle that will enable us to do well in our life, things to go well for us in our life. And here's the details for that. First of all, we're in Romans 10 already. Look at verse 17. Romans 10, 17 says this, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Okay, so here's how we understand faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Okay, so we have to hear something before we're going to believe it in our heart. Remember, faith is of the heart, not of the mind. It's not just hearing it and consciously acknowledging it, but it develops faith in your heart. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the good news about Christ. We'll see in a little bit what that good news really is. If you haven't ever heard the good news before, it is a message that will just absolutely transform, rearrange, change your life if you will accept that as God's word for you, God's news for you. But there is good news that we've been given to share. But we need to hear that good news, and then that good news develops faith for us. Faith comes by hearing that news. In fact, in verse 14, just back up a couple of verses there, it says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" Okay, so we're talking about believing, or talking about faith. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Okay, so faith comes by hearing. People have to hear before they can believe. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Okay, so someone needs to be speaking this good news for people to hear this good news so that they can believe in their hearts so that they can be saved. Okay, so here's the deal. How can they believe if they've never heard? Someone's got to be speaking. How can they hear unless someone tells them? So here's the first illustration with the man. Now, don't start writing in this. Because I'll tell you again what I want you to put on this picture when we get there. But here's an illustration of someone comes and shares this good news with this person. And what that good news is, this comes directly from Scripture, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says that God is not counting your sins against you. Be made right with God. That's the good news that we have to share, or the good news that you have the opportunity to receive if you've not heard that message before. How awesome. I mean, we know what sinners we are. It doesn't take a lot for us to figure it out. I mean, have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stolen something? Have you ever looked at someone with lust? Have you? I mean, all of these things the Scripture describes as sin. We know the naughtiness of our hearts. But the point of it is, this: what God says is, I'm not counting that sin against you. And the reason why he doesn't count that sin against you is because he put the penalty of that sin on his Son, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross. It goes on in that same passage, 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, Jesus, who knew no sin, he had never sinned himself. He who knew no sin was made to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, or that we might be made right with God. That's the good news. Jesus took your sin so that God would not count your sin against you. And so then the message, the obvious follow-up to that then is, be made right with God. It's your choice to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and to confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's going to be number one in my life. Then you're saved. God's not counting your sin against you. So some people need to hear that. And as we just read in this passage, how are people going to hear unless someone shares that? So see the balloon with the, you know, phrase, it's coming from someplace else. This person needs to hear that first. Okay, so he hears this word, and faith comes by hearing. You hear the word, and believing comes. Someone needs to hear. Maybe this is the first time you've ever heard today that God's not counting your sins against you. And what does that do on the inside of you? Oh, thank the Lord. Because I know what my sins have done in my life. I know how awful they are. And for you to tell me that, that's good news. Thank you. Thank you, God. You know, what it does is it stirs faith on you. Maybe there's hope for me yet. Maybe I would be able to go to heaven when I die. Because otherwise, by my life, my actions, I'm going straight to hell. I mean, we have that knowledge on the inside of us. But here's the good news. And someone hears that, and it establishes faith on the inside of them. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so then what happens then is belief in the heart. I believe in my heart, and then I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the result of hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And so there is this heart-to-mouth faith when we declare it in our heart, speak it out of our mouth, or mouth to, okay. Hear it, it develops faith. Faith in our heart then comes out our mouth. Okay, I'll get more of the details here. Heart to mouth faith. Matthew chapter 12. Pardon my confusion. Matthew, oh, and that. And you're all taking that survey this week. Oh, that's it. I'm under pressure. I'm intimidated. Love the pastor, but he can't speak hardly at all. Can't get out the words right. Can't find the scripture when he's looking for it. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 33 through 35. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. I added those extra two for good measure. But in this passage of Scripture, first of all, it says that whatever is in your heart determines what you say. That is the principle of the heart-to-mouth faith. Whatever is abundant in your heart will determine what's coming out of your mouth. Okay, for the one who has good things in their heart, good things will be produced from a treasury of a good heart. And I use that, you know, good things produced is success. Like God spoke to Joshua. He said, keep speaking this word. It's going to cause you to succeed. Then you will succeed. Meditate on this word. Don't let it depart from your mouth. And so one who has the word of God or good treasures stored up in his heart, those things are going to come out of the mouth because the mouth speaks out of that which is in the heart. And so that will be the natural course. And as you speak out those good things will be produced, or again, success. The opposite is also true. Evil things will be produced from a treasury of an evil heart. And I've just, you know, the evil things produced, I've just labeled that as destruction. When we're producing evil things, it's destruction. It destroys people's lives. It destroys your own life. And so it's evil things are produced as destruction. But that comes from a treasury of an evil heart. So what we're asking or what we're evaluating is, what is our heart full of? Is our heart full of evil or is our heart full of good? And that has been dependent upon what you have been listening to, what you've been feeding yourself, because faith comes by hearing. So your heart is going to be filled to abundance with what you're listening to. So there's the ears to the heart, but then there's also the heart to the mouth. When we're speaking out of what's abundant in our heart, it's going to either produce good things or evil things. Okay, so let's use a couple of examples again here. There's our little cartoon man. And one who has good stored up in his heart is going to speak out good things, like the word of God. When we have God's word abundant in our heart, we'll speak out God's word. Like this example is one who says, you know what? Be anxious for nothing. When trouble comes, a person who has God's word in his heart is going to say, you know what? I remember what God's word says. It says, be anxious for nothing. It also says, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. It also says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, these things, when they're abundant in our heart, that's what's going to come out of our mouth in the time of struggle or the time of challenge. However, the opposite is also true. If we have evil in our heart, okay, you can tell this is an evil guy. Look at the eyebrows, mad eyes. Okay, the guy with evil in his heart, what's going to come out of his mouth? Have you ever seen cartoon swearing before? Have you ever watched cartoons on TV and watched them swear? They go, they can't say the actual words. They better not. But the point of it is the one who has evil abundant in their heart, when trouble comes, blankety, blank, blanket, blank, 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 because that cursing or that evil will come out. And what does it do? It brings destruction. Now, if I'm going to put some other words up here, if you shorten these up, you'd accuse me of swearing in church, so I'm not saying the words that usually come out of a person's mouth, but people say things like divine being condemn it. I'll just give you a minute. You know, I don't want you meditating on this. But typically, that's what happens. A person who does not have God's word abundant in their heart, something happens. I mean, you bang, smash your thumb with a hammer. Divine being, condemn it. Now, why do you want to be doing that? Why do you want to be cursing as something that needs to be healed up? You don't want this damned or condemned. Especially you don't want God doing it, right? But that's what an evil heart produces. Cursing, and it leads to evil things. Evil things happen as a result of evil treasures in a man's heart or a woman's heart. I'm not going to be gender specific on that. But the point of it is what's abundant in your heart is what's going to come out your mouth and set a course for you, set a course for your life. Okay, so here's what you can draw on your pictures if you want to do this. Remember how we hear things, we speak out of what's abundant in our heart, and then we hear what we say. And when we hear what we say, what comes as a result of our hearing? Belief in our heart, or faith, comes from hearing. So you fill in the little speaky cloud there's thing. What's that called? Bubble? Okay, it's different from the thought. The thought has just little round circles. This one is a speaking one. But whatever is going in there, whatever you're saying out your mouth is also going to go in your own ears. And that can be either evil or good. If you're speaking out curses, it's going to create more confusion and more destruction in your own heart because you're receiving what you're hearing. This is going in your heart. And so this is kind of a cyclical thing, either for good or for bad, for good or for evil. You can be speaking God's word, and that's why God told Joshua with this huge task in front of him, he says, you know, don't let this word out of your mouth. You have to keep speaking God's word because that's going to give you faith. It's going to give you courage. It's going to give you boldness. Speak God's word. Meditate on it. Keep speaking it. And so when we speak God's word, we hear that, and it encourages faith on the inside of us. When we say with our mouth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication make your requests known to God, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we're speaking those things, we're going to believe that. We're going to hear that. It'll establish faith in our heart. So we need to speak God's word. Again, the opposite of that is if we start cursing things, we're going to hear those curses. And in our heart, it's going to be established. That's cursed. Now, I'm not just talking about curse words. I mean, we're all familiar with the reality of that. But sometimes we can be speaking things over our own finances. You know, I'm never going to get ahead. What are you doing? You're cursing your own finances. And you're going to believe that too. When the next set of bills come, you're going to go, instead of my God shall supply all my needs, you're going to go, never get ahead. And I'm always going to be behind. You're cursing your finances. Now, if you don't believe me, you know, or this the scripture passage that says, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and it produces either good things or evil things, there's another passage of scripture that really shows us the reality of that. And that is in James chapter 3. And I call this the mouth to success part of this principle, Or it could be destruction. I put that in little tiny words because I don't want us to focus on that. We don't want to magnify the destruction that can happen. We want to magnify the success that can happen as a result of understanding this principle of what's big in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. And it's going to set a course for us. It's going to either result in good things or evil things in our life. So where am I? James chapter 3 and verses 2 through 12. I'm going to talk about controlling the tongue. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire itself. Okay, so this starts talking about how much control your tongue has with your life. It's like the bit in the horse's mouth or the rudder on the ship that changes the direction, changes the course. That's what our tongue is like. So the tongue is involved in setting a course, and it says, you know, it can be full of wickedness, and it leads to destruction. The tongue can set on your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. That's what will naturally happen unless something else takes place. And that's what we've been talking about, the word of God being abundant in our heart. So our mouth will speak out naturally God's word instead of the things that of hell. So here, first of all, it says the tongue sets the course of your life, like the bit in the horse's mouth, like the rudder on the boat. The tongue sets the course of your life. Now, it can either be for blessing or for cursing, like we've already discovered. The evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth that cursing. The good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. We see this also in verses 7 through 10. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Okay, so the tongue can be used both for blessing or for cursing. Okay, for success or for destruction. When we're setting the course of our lives with the use of our words, we're setting a course either for blessing or for destruction, for success or for cursing. Okay, and then verses 11 and 12 says this, does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Okay, so what's that all about? Here, again, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Sometimes we are trying to do both. With the discipline of our own, we're trying to tame the tongue. And see, here's a person who is both blessing and cursing. And it ought not be that way. The scripture says, in reality, it can't be that way because you are not going to be good enough to tame the tongue. So here's a person who out of his mouth comes cursing, divine being, condemn it, and then, oh, bless you, blessings, blessings on my life. My life is blessed, 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 blessed. Blah, 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 blah. Curse, 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 curse. Divine being, condemn it. You know, it's like both blessing and cursing, the only way that that will happen is a person who is attempting to control themselves with their own self-discipline. I can control this tongue. Instead of saying those naughty words, I'm going to say good words instead. You know what? Your tongue cannot be tamed. Your tongue, the principle of Scripture, your tongue is going to speak what's abundant in your heart. So the only thing that you can do about your tongue is change what's in your heart. You can't tame your tongue. It's interesting. People get around preachers and they start acting really goofy. It's like, oh, pardon my French, you know, or whatever. You're just like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You're here. You know how I respond? Thanks, Gary. How I respond to people is what? You know what? You don't answer to me. There's someone bigger than me that you answer to. Whoa. Oh, I never thought about that, you know. But the reality of it is people try to control their tongue for particular instances. But you know what? You can't. You can't. You get in a tight enough circumstance or you forget the pastor's present and there it'll come. Because that's what's abundant in your heart. The only way you can change what's coming out your mouth is what you're putting in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it can't be both blessing and cursing. You're not going to get fresh spring water out of a salty water base. It's not going to happen. You'll get salt water out of it. And so if you've got evil and corruption in your heart, that's what's going to come out your mouth. It's just, you can't tame the tongue. The only thing you can do about the tongue is change what's in your heart. And so there we have the scripture. Then the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. We saw that in Matthew chapter 12. You can't tame your tongue. You can't tame it or self-discipline yourself into saying the right things. You've got to change what's in your heart. I want to close with a passage of scripture this morning that I think just will kind of help us with setting the course and I just want to encourage you with this. This is from Proverbs, and I think it's Proverbs 2. Some that I was reflecting on just recently. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 2. It says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and you will find the right way to go." Here's telling us, people, you know, what we're hearing becomes big in our hearts and then results in what comes out of our mouth, which results in setting the course, and we're hearing it again. It's going through that cycle. But here's what it's saying. It's saying, listen to the words that God has. Tune your ears to what he has to say, because that's going to set you on a course where you are learning about God, you're understanding him, what he is like in his character and his nature. And that's going to help you, you know, like last week we talked about taking captive thoughts. We're in a battle in our minds, and we've got to grab hold of those thoughts that are contrary to God. But when we're learning about God, we're developing a knowledge of who he is and what his character and his nature is, then we'll have an understanding and we'll begin to fear him or properly respect him. And I especially like verse 9 when it says, "Then you'll understand what is right, just, and fair, and you'll find the right way to go." That's talking about setting the course for your life and declaring that with your words, making that abundant in your heart so that it naturally comes out of your mouth and you're not trying to discipline your tongue into not being, you know, cursing in your life. There's one other thing that I wanted to share. Did I say that was one thing? Am I allowed one more? Because sometimes people will speak curses over your life. People will speak curses over your life. And you go, hey, what about that? Are they setting a course for cursing in my life? And I'll just give you an example. Someone once said over our son, Rodney, who had a few mishaps in early in life, you know, I shared with one of them with you when, you know, he swallowed the marble and all through that and everything got caught in his stomach, caught in his throat and then caught in his stomach. But, you know, someone declared about him, you know what, he's going to be in the emergency room every 6 months. And you know what we did with that? We did this. Proverbs 26:2 says, "Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. You know, so you don't have to concern yourself with people that speak curses over you. You know, I mean, we've been talking about, you know, you set a course for your life and you speak blessing or cursing and producing good or evil things. You know, if someone is speaking a curse over you and you have a relationship with the Lord, you know what you can say? You know what? That's an undeserved curse. It's not going to come to light. Flee away, little sparrow. Flee away, little swallow. You're not going to land on my life or my family or my household or my finances. That's a curse without a cause. That is undeserved curse. And you will not come to light. You know, so you declare those things for yourself and bless those that curse you. You know, that speak that the other way around, turn that around. So I think that's the only other one thing that I had to say. But okay, so let's pray. Let's close with prayer. First, my prayer is, Lord, that if there are any here today that this is the first time they've heard that good news about how people can be right with God, that they would make that determination that, yes, I need to accept the truth that my life without God is lost. I'm lost. But God has made a way for me to be right with Him. And so I accept that good news that Jesus died for my sin and God raised Him from the dead. And now I'm going to trust Him to be not just the one who saves me, but the one who leads me and guides me and is the Lord of my life. And just to embrace the salvation that You offer us, Lord, to be made right with You. But my other prayer, Father, is that we will learn the value of the words that we say and how we should come into agreement with Your words by making them abundant in our heart. As we are magnifying the word, we want to make it bigger in our, not only in our minds, our hearts, our perception, but also bigger in our speaking. We want to magnify Your word with the words that we say, not just in silent prayers or silent thoughts, but declaring Your own word in our life. Father, help us do this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.